Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. And today we are going to be talking about how God makes his presence known. As believers, you and I have a special relationship with God. We have that oneness with him that puts us in a different class of people from unbelievers. It's not that we earned that distinction. It's a matter of reality. And it's based on the fact that the definition of being a believer is not what you believe. Maybe we need to come up with a new name. It's, have you been reborn in your spirit? Spirit begets spirit. And if you have been born again in your spirit, that spirit now communicates fully with the living God. That's it. It's not a matter of you qualifying or desiring or praying right or having enough faith, believing the right things. None of those things affects the facts of your relationship with God. Just as if you, now this is not a complete illustration, but if you were to put a drop of water into the ocean, that ocean consumes that drop of water. Now, you and I are still unique beings, and we all have questions about how that works. Will we always be a unique being? Will we always maintain our consciousness? Did we have the same awareness of our uniqueness before we entered this body, this time frame? We all have a lot of questions. And that's fine. That doesn't keep us from enjoying our relationship with God. God has taken responsibility for revealing himself to us. The old covenant is all about proving that there's nothing that we can do to qualify for a relationship. That it's all God. He reveals himself to whom he chooses and how he chooses. I always challenge someone who doesn't believe in God, rather than trying to convince them, ask them, if there is a God, would you be open to letting him reveal himself and making himself real to you? Now, most of the time, people have never thought of that. That's not the approach that they're used to dealing with. So that takes some time. But I challenge Christians the same way. Are you willing to allow God to reveal himself to you on his terms and make himself real to you. Now, in your spirit, he's already done that. There's no doubt. There's no shadow of turning. It's our soul that has the problem. Our soul still is separated with that wall between the soul and spirit. And we have so long lived out of the soul realm. One of our goals here on this earth is to learn how to live as a spirit being. You are a spirit being. You have a soul and you live in a body. If you've been re-spirited by God, you weren't born this way. You weren't born with a spirit, with a living spirit. And this is why we all have a yearning for something else, for even if it's just an explanation. And I'm always amazed at those who are so often so anti-Christian, and you wonder why they're so angry at God and angry at Christians. Why can't they just let Christians believe in the God that they choose to? It's always been interesting to me why it really pushes their buttons. It makes the people angry when you believe something, when you believe in a God that they don't want to believe in. And I think, just my opinion here, that it's because they wish it were true. But because they haven't experienced it, you are deluded in believing in a God. They've concluded there is none. But wouldn't it be nice? So, it's God's job, his responsibility, to make himself known to us. Now, we often save him for the big things, for the big decisions, for the big traumas, the big crises. And yet, he is communicating with you and revealing himself to you every moment of every day. That's how big he is. We have a small, small God when we think that he's waiting for us to pray, and pray the right way, of course. But he is so big. He is spending every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of your life, doing nothing but thinking about arranging circumstances in your life just for you. Not so you can achieve some grand purpose, or that he's counting on you to uphold his standards, or he can't move in another area unless you're in the right place at the right time. No. He's intimately involved in every aspect of your life so that you can receive more of what he wants to give you. Your spirit is fully cooperating in this project. You could say it's God and your spirit against your soul, because your soul is insisting on doing its own thing. Your other enemies have been taken care of. The world system's been taken care of. The devil's been taken care of 2,000 years ago. The problem we've got and what we have to work out and battle and develop strategies and tools and skills and weapons is overcoming our flesh, which is our soul doing its own thing. So God takes responsibility for revealing himself, for the training, for the arranging of those circumstances. And he wants to prove himself worthy of our trust in reality. It's not to be accepted by faith or just by wishing, but in reality. He comes through on his terms. And he does that by, often by withdrawing himself so that we will pursue him. And this is where I think we have one of our big problems in especially the Western culture Christian religious organizations, is there's so much activity that instead of learning how to hear, how to see, how to learn, how to listen to God himself for his voice, we are consumed with reading our Bible, attending church, ministering to the poor, doing other community activities, you know, doing other things that we think God expects us to do. Now, a lot of those things we don't want to leave undone, but they are no substitute for learning how to recognize his presence. And the variety of the way he reveals himself is astounding. And he quickens our senses so that we can become more and more tuned and attuned to how he wants to reveal himself. God is a real person. And yet, we so often treat him as if he didn't exist, even if we say we believe him. But if there was a real person sitting in your room while you're praying, you were praying to that God that you knew was sitting in that chair right next to you, would you pray the prayer you're praying? Oh, dear Lord, do thus and so. Here's the scriptures that prove you have to do it. You owe me because I've done the rest of this. You have to do your part now. What if he was sitting right there? Would you say that to a real person? Well, God wants you to know him as a real person. And he wants you to have that confidence of his personhood and that he is with you completely and involved 100% of your time, whether you're asleep, whether you're awake, whether you're thinking of him or not. Now, he exists on many levels. He's on Venus right now. He's on, you know, throughout our universe and probably on other universes that we have no idea exist in multiple dimensions. He's creating dimensions even as we speak. And yet, he's right there with you, in you, right now, sitting next to you. So, as his sons, whether you're a male or a female, you are a son, a firstborn, a joint heir, if you have been reborn spiritually in your spirit. And as sons, you have the privilege of knowing him on an intimate level that is not available to unbelievers, those who have not been reborn in their spirit, and other elements of his creation that do not have a spirit communication with him. Now, I wonder sometimes if those creatures on this earth, or even aspects of this earth that we don't even necessarily understand, who don't have a spirit, already communicate with him better than we do. because we have elevated our soul to do something it's not meant to do. But you and I have this privilege to know him. And to try to even comprehend how far it can go. I think that's where, if you look back in the Old Testament, how some reached beyond what God even could allow. And he had to take them out because they would have brought judgment too soon. He has a timetable, and he has a timetable for you. But it's for us, not against us. It's not, because so if we miss the train, we're done. We've ruined our lives because we missed that train. God can't do anything in our lives. He can't fulfill the promise in our lives because we missed that train. That's not God. You are the purpose of your life. You knowing him, being with him, being one in him and with him, that is your purpose in life. That is his purpose in your life. It's not what you do, what you know, who you know, how you know it, what you accomplish. Those are all projects that he puts in your path so that you can know him better. He doesn't need your help in anything. Anything he wants to do in this world or in your family's life, he doesn't need your help. He may put you in a position to take authority, but he will tell you what you need to know. And he's putting you in that position not because he can't do it. It's because he wants you to learn how to do it. He wants you to learn how to speak to that mountain, how to take authority, how to rule and reign. Rule over yourself, your soul, and reign over your circumstances. Notice this is not about correcting someone else or changing who is in the White House, or answering any mystical or mysterious questions. It is all about you. Now, you recognize that your new character, your new spiritual character, is your very nature now, is to give. That's God's nature, and it is now our new spirit nature. So part of the things he will be imparting, the projects he will be setting up for us, will be to share, to give unconditionally, to expand, to provide, to teach, to share unconditionally, what we have received unconditionally. But it's not because there will be a quid pro quo. It's not because if we don't give, God can't give to us. There's no linkage. It is simply we are learning to live as a spirit being, as a son here on this earth. And so we will be involved in areas that we may not feel comfortable. And that's fine, because this is not about our being comfortable. This life is not about our accommodating our temperament. There's so many different layers that God wants us to understand and appreciate, but also recognize that his idea of judgment is different than ours. When we say he talks that he's a judge and that he brings judgment to us, all judgment is is a truthful evaluation. When you take a test and there's 10 questions and you get 9 of them correct and say that's a B, you have been judged. You got 9 right and 1 wrong. It's not personal. It's a fact. There's a reality there. Likewise, if you got all 10 correct, you get an A. You've been judged, evaluated, measured against a standard. That's all judgment is. Now, you and I, in Christ, as sons, were judged 2,000 years ago. And because we were judged in Him, we got an A. So when you come before God to be judged or otherwise, just to say, hey, Dad, how's it going? You have an A. Period. You have been judged, and you've been judged to be in His Son. Not like, not as if, but you are now a son. And He wants you to know that. He wants you to have that confidence that you know that. And likewise, there are many things that keep us running around trying to figure out or trying to live up to that have already been taken care of, like forgiveness, like measuring up, like what is our responsibility towards our brother. He has already answered these questions, and so many of them are answered in a situational aspect. You don't forgive someone because they deserve it. They may not. You forgive someone because you are a forgiving person. If that is now, just as much as you are now a giving person, you are a forgiving person as well. It has nothing to do with the situation. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your feelings. You are a forgiving person, so you can release them freely. Now, here's that hard part. That doesn't necessarily mean they're off the hook. There are consequences to our actions. And sometimes it's much easier to just forgive them and let it go than to forgive them and hold them accountable. And this is where you have to go to God and say, in this situation, Lord, how should I handle this? What is the best for this other person? And this is where He is training us to rule and reign and be responsive to Him, hearing Him, and following through on what He wants to do in each distinct situation. So part of the process of getting to know Him on an individual basis, to experience that confidence, is learning to appreciate and act on our privilege of being able to come before Him as an A student, as a son, knowing that this is just about the two of us. And then in turn, respecting and honoring Him by responding to Him, that being with Him is enough. We don't need to measure up to anyone else's standards. We already have. You've already met all of God's standards. Our challenge is learning to hear Him, learning to recognize His presence, recognize His voice, and rule and reign now. So God is revealing Himself. He's teaching us how to recognize His presence. On the one hand, this is very personal. On the other hand, God has made Himself known throughout time to all creatures, human beings, animals. God is the creator of creation. Just as a way of talking about Him, we can describe God's presence as being threefold or in three layers. And that's His omnipresence, His manifest presence, and His personal presence. Real quickly, just so you can see where we're going, God's omnipresence is the fact that God is everywhere, in everything, and around everything. God's manifest presence is when He reveals Himself through situations or using our physical senses on the outside, regardless of whether we are a Christian or not, regardless of whether we have been re-inspirited or not. And finally, God's personal presence. This is a personal awareness that's going to be different from each one of us. He quickens your senses so that you can be aware of Him. So we're going to start with the outer and move to the inner, the omnipresence, to the manifest presence, where it's manifest, it's obvious. His presence is obvious. And then the personal presence, that very often that presence you can't even describe. You don't know how to explain it to someone else. So God's omnipresence. God is everywhere. God created everything and everyone and exists eternally. We've talked before and we'll talk again, I'm sure, about the whole concept of eternal. Eternal is not at all related to time. Time was created. God created time. Eternal is not more time. Eternal is above time. Time is an aspect of eternity. Instead, eternity and eternal is a characteristic, a quality of God. So when we start talking about God is eternal, and we start talking about eternal life, we're not talking about when we die, we will continue to live. Instead, eternal life is that part of God that is life. And by knowing God, by knowing Christ, by being re-inspirited, we become eternal at the moment we are re-inspirited. That's why we go back 2,000 years and share in Christ's experience when He was hanging on the cross, and then especially when He rose again and is now with His Father. We are right now with His Father, with our Father, and experiencing eternal life. Right now, you have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. so we will continue our conversation about God's omnipresence and how he makes his presence known next week. Until then, remember, you can always drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. And, of course, visit the site at wecanprepare.org. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a great weekend.